All right, guys, welcome to our December Empowered Self-Care Lab call. We used to call these just our office hours calls, and they've changed over the years. They used to be called Dr. Rita Marie's Office Hours, Vibrant Living Office Hours. Now they're called Empowered Self-Care Office Hours, and we're going to stick with that for a little while. So we're good. This is our call where you get to ask me whatever you need help with. I'd love to hear you start with a celebration first, and then you can ask whatever you need support with. So here's the thing. I want to just give a few announcements. If you missed the call on Tuesday, which was the health topic call, it was really great. And I really encourage you. It was on the thoughts and how your thoughts, not just say, well, your thoughts make your reality and make it sound woo-woo. It's actually from a scientific perspective and the effect on peptides and those effect on receptors. And I highly recommend that you watch it as soon as we get the post, the video posted up. It was really, really good. The other thing is, for those of you who joined us, those of you who joined for the full whatever, the annual.
Right now, I don't care.
Somebody needs to be muted. Let's see. Somebody had some noise in the background. All right. So for those of you who joined us and did the annual subscription, and those of you in ERC as well, you all get access to this really cool program I'm putting together. You get to be coming to it live, called the Herbal, what's it called? Practical Herbal Therapeutics. It starts on Saturday and it's going to be really, really awesome. So we're going to do 4-hour workshop on Saturday. Then we're going to give you a break over the holidays. And then we'll do 4 2-hour sessions in January. And I'm super excited about it because I have so much I want to share. And I notice when I'm on calls with you that I do a lot of somebody else. I don't know what happened. All right. So I noticed that when I'm on calls and we're asking about, you know, what do I do for this or what do I do for that, that there's so many like things about herbs that I just really want everybody to know so that you're really empowered to take care of yourself, whether it's an acute situation or a chronic situation. And you're going to get a lot out of this. So I highly encourage you to come live if you can. And if you can't come live, then absolutely catch the recordings and we'll get that all set up for you. I've got all kinds of books and charts. I just put together some really cool charts on the nutrients in specific herbs so that we're not just all out there like, oh, let me just go buy vitamin C or this. And yeah, there's times when you need it, but how do you know, like some of the herbs that actually have some amazing properties and some of them are culinary herbs, so you can just start to use them. So I'm super excited about this class. The other thing I want to let you know is, starting either next week or the week after, I'm going to be sending you, I mean, you all have access to it, but I'm just going to be directing you to go to the place on the site with the elimination diet. And I'm going to get you started, like do some of the prep work, some of the forms, some of the like noticing, even if you're going through Christmas and not paying attention to like avoiding this or that, but like really noticing how things affect you and starting to keep track of it. Cause then in January, we're going to go through together as a group, we're going to go through the elimination provocation process. And it's a process, and we're going to do it with some Facebook lives. We'll do it with, you know, the calls, and we'll do it with some email support. Because I really want everybody to do this, as if you haven't already, if you've already done it and you know what foods you tolerate. But even if you have done it and it's been a while, there may be changes. Maybe there's foods that you used to not tolerate that you tolerate now, and vice versa, right? So we want to see where that's at. And that's such a cornerstone. One of my favorite herbal teachers, I've been studying with him over the years on various self-study. I've never really met the guy in person, but I really like him a lot. And he's talking about right now, some of his webinars that he's doing is on food intolerances. And he said this comment, which really has stuck with me. He said, one of his early mentors said, if you're not able and willing as a herbalist, he's an herbalist, to do an elimination, like find out what people are sensitive to and help them to remove it and repair the body, find another profession. That's basically what he told them, because it's so critical that we identify those things, right? And there are some, for some people, it's just it's a built-in thing for your life. Like my husband, soy, for whatever reason, he just has this he's been since he was a kid. And when they started to put like soy and flour and buns and various things like that, he started to get this asthmatic reaction and end up in the hospital till they figured it out. He's got this inherent allergy. He's never going to eat soy. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to find out. He doesn't want to do the propagation part to find out if he's still sensitive to soy, because he doesn't want to have to end up in the hospital with anaphylaxis, you know? So some of those things like that, those are the obvious, you know, you learn those early on. But there's some of those subtle things that you just don't know. And just occurs a little congestion here, or a little stuffy here, or gut stuff, or mood stuff, right? And we want to help you to identify that by getting rid of it all and taking you through an elimination and then a provocation. So that's going to happen in January. And there's a lot of other things we have planned for this group throughout the year. All right. And well, one last thing, and then we'll go to your questions. On the, not this Saturday, but the following Saturday, the 19th, I think it is, the 19th, we're going to be having our final kitchen show for the year. And in the kitchen show, I've done this before. I was looking back at my recordings and stuff. And I think it was the year before last that we did this, where I put out to his folks and I said, what is it that you wish, like that's a favorite holiday food that you wish you knew how to make in a healthier way? And I took these and I did about 5 or 6 different recipes. And actually we did it twice, 2 months in a row, November, December. And I made all these recipes and some really amazing stuff came out. It really challenged me to think through, well, how would I change this? Or how would I? One of my favorites was the grasshopper pie. Oh my God, it was so good, right? So are there some family favorites that you have? You can put them in the chat here. You can put them on the Facebook group, or you can just send an email to us. Send an email to coaching@drritamarie.com, because then I'll get it directly. It won't go through the help desk. And just let me know. Here's some of the things, you know, if you just have the name of it, you don't know what was put in it because your grandma made it for you, I'll start looking around to see what's typically in it. But if you have like a specific recipe or ingredients, let us know, because I think it can be really fun and helpful if you can make a family favorite and enjoy it through the holidays without feeling deprived. So that's my last bit. So what we'll do for questions is like put up your hands and say, I want to talk. I have either a question or a comment or a celebration or both. And we'll go through and we'll take care of you. So, and the way you can do that is you can click participants. And then you can, at the bottom, there's a little hand and you can put it up. I see Jenny has her hand up already. So we'll start there. And you can wave at me, but I can't necessarily remember what order people waved at me. So I may not get them in the right order. So Jenny, go for it.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I have a few questions. My celebration is 21 days in a row of meditating. And that's all
Yay!
New.
Yay! Yes. Congratulations.
It's just a simple 5-minute thing every morning, but it's great. And then sometimes I do more later in the day, but 21 days consistently with the morning meditation. So nice. I'm very happy about that. And I had submitted this in my response. I don't know if you got it or not, but
didn't see it. Okay. Yes.
But I actually accidentally did it twice, but anyway, we'll take it. There are a couple of things. One, let me take care of these things first. I'm so sorry. I have like 4 things written down. The therapeutic herbalism. I really look forward to this, but on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock my time in Washington, which is the start of it, I have to be at this board meeting that's online, mm-hmm. a Zoom meeting. Will that be recorded and posted prior to the next
session
in January?
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Absolutely. The next session's in January. So if we can't get it posted in until January, we're in trouble. Yeah.
Well, I wasn't sure if you're going to wait until they were all done and then post.
No. We'll post them as they're done. Yeah.
Okay. And when it comes to food sensitivities, I had testing done at one point, but I understand testing can be kind of controversial. It depends on the type of test and all that. What do you recommend with that? Or should I should you just go by how you feel, or should I do different testing? Like, what? Tell me.
Yeah,
what
I
you
was.
Think about
I have.
All that.
I have very strong opinions about that, and I will say this is my opinion.
Okay.
But I feel like it's not something I do very often. I do it generally when we can't figure it out based on the symptom stuff, or if there's something really severe and weird. And like I said, Paul Bergner, who is the mentor I was talking about before, I've studied with him, and he was saying the same thing. He was saying, there's no perfect test, right? Then none of them. And lots of people, lots of my colleagues, lots of his colleagues have done what we call the double, you know, split test. So you have somebody draw somebody's blood, split it in half, send it to two different labs, and gotten two different sets of results. So at best they're 80, 85% accurate at not having, you know, the negatives, but not having the positives. So false negatives, false positives. A false negative is actually more dangerous than a false positive, because you go, oh, I've been avoiding this for years and it shows that I'm not sensitive to this. And then you start eating it and you get in trouble, right? But most of them don't have that great response. So the best way is what we're going to do. We're going to take you through a process, and we're going to do it slowly but surely and make sure that you find some of the things. Now, when we get to the point where we're going, you know, you're doing all this stuff, you've eliminated all these foods, and you still don't feel well. It could be a digestive thing, it could be a parasite, but it could be that there's a hidden food sensitivity that you just haven't figured out yet.
Is it possible to, if you don't display symptoms of a sensitivity, then it's pretty safe you don't have one? That's my big concern, is that they said that I was sensitive to almonds. The other things I didn't care because I didn't eat really anyway, but almonds is one of those things that even when I do eat them, I don't feel bad. I don't feel
even
like
back then when they first tested it.
Yeah. I was surprised.
So
when
it could
I saw
be subtle. It could be subtle. It can increase inflammation, but for the most part, I mean, there's those tests, like they'll say 1 to 4, 0 to 4. So 0 means no reaction. 4 means, whoa, severe reaction, right? Usually the ones that are 4, you figure it out by yourself, but not necessarily, because they're slow onset. So they're testing in most of those tests an IgG reaction, which is a delayed hypersensitivity. And so you could eat something on Monday and not feel it till Wednesday.
Oh.
And all of a sudden on Wednesday, you wake up feeling sad, or you wake up feeling irritable, or you wake up, you know, feeling whatever. That's what can happen. Right.
Wow.
And when we do the reintroduction, we're making sure that you're keeping track and you're eating enough of it. And like, you actually get a result. It's slow and tedious, but we're going to help to make it less slow by all the prep work. But yeah, you don't know, right? You may think, oh, I feel fine. I just ate these almonds an hour ago and I'm fine. The next day you have an itchy rash, but you don't even relate it to the almonds.
Yeah.
Because they're so far removed in time. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Okay. And my, and my last question is the one I actually wrote.
That's the one I saw about the probiotics.
Yeah, I apologize. This is probably the third time I've asked you about that, but I still go, I need to write it down and tape it to my cabinet. But yeah, I continuously have tried to separate different not just probiotics, but the supplements. And then I start forgetting to take them. And right. I just wonder
what should you not take with probiotics? Mm-hmm. Antimicrobial herbs should not be taken with probiotics.
Okay. So, and that's it.
Black walnut hulls or berberine or any of those sorts of things.
Okay.
Anything with sugar in it, right? Yeah. That'd be a good thing to avoid. Yeah, I think that's basically it. I don't see any problem with specific nutrients taken with probiotics.
And if I have green tea, matcha or something, and it has a bit of caffeine in it, that's, I mean, that's practically negligible.
It should not
okay.
Take the probiotics. Yeah.
All right.
Mainly it's antimicrobial stuff.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Who else? I don't see any other hands up. Anybody else have questions? Comments?
Hi, yeah. This is Christina.
Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hi, I had my hand up, but I don't know if you can see it or not. I did like that. Can you see
it? Oh, now
at
I
all?
See it. Yeah. No, I don't see it. It didn't go up with the little thing. And sometimes if you're on the phone, it's
hear me, right?
But I can hear you. Yeah, it's a little bit low and I can turn up my volume a little, I think.
Okay. So I'm driving. So I hope it's not too much background noise for you.
I don't hear noise. You're just low. I can hear you. Okay. Go ahead.
Let me try this.
Just make sure you're staying safe. I just don't like when people are driving and talking at the same time and you may.
Can you hear me better now?
Much better.
Okay, good. So yes. My questions are mostly about the supplements.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been taking magnesium about 7-8 years, something okay. like that. I've been taking the Calm magnesium.
Magnesium Calm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I was just curious. I was trying to make sure all my supplements are, you know, derived from whole foods or the good kind. And I was just curious if you think that's a good brand or.
I mean, it's some of the, they have flavored Calm and I don't think they are. Like some of the flavors have extra gunk in them that I wouldn't go for. But overall it's magnesium citrate. It helps people to calm down. It helps people with bowel movements. Otherwise magnesium, the other way I like magnesium is in a liquid. And then when we do this class, you're going to see that there's a lot of higher magnesium foods that you can actually, herbs that you can add to your regime. But if you have a deficiency, here the thing is the soils are pretty deficient. I mean, I eat a ton of greens. I get a ton of magnesium in my diet, but periodically I am getting like crap. I haven't had them in weeks, but I've been taking like once a week, I take a magnesium liquid supplement to prevent that. Right. And I go, I find, oops, I forgot to take magnesium for a few weeks. I better go take it again. But I think it's because the soils are depleted. Right. And it might be that lately, yeah, this is an interesting, I just thought of this, might be lately that I haven't been as deficient and I haven't needed it as much as I did a while back, was that we've been buying all our food at the farmer's market this, almost, not all, but a lot of our food is from the farmer's market this year, locally grown, organic, with love and care. And I wonder if they just, it has a higher mineral, or some of them might be doing some of that seaweed kind of, you know, you fertilized with seawater. So I don't know, but I think that, you know, the Calm is fine as long as you like it. And as long as it's not one of those flavored ones, because they sent me some samples once and I'm like, I'm not eating this. This has, you know, kind of weird stuff.
Well, I checked the ingredients and I use a flavored one, but it says it has stevia and it's usually like raspberry lemon or something like that.
Yeah, but you know, I would check with them and just make sure that the raspberry lemon is actually a natural, like an essential oil versus a synthetic like version of it.
Okay. Because I noticed that, so I got another magnesium. It was called I don't know what it was called, something like that, from Dr. Supplement Store.
Mm-hmm.
It was in capsules. And I decided to try that. And what I noticed is every time I get off of the Calm magnesium, I seem to get constipated. And I don't notice any other thing like.
As well, the citrate is definitely has more laxative effect. Now, it may be that your other one that you got was not magnesium citrate. It might be glycinate or something like that. It also may be the amount, because when you're taking capsules, you don't always get the same amount as you can with the powder. It's easy to just put a scoop of powder. So if it works for you and there's no added gunky stuff in there and you like it, I'd keep doing it.
Okay. And I also got zinc. I just wasn't sure, like, how much should I be taking zinc? How much zinc should I be taking?
Well, that again depends, right?
That was on my.
Yeah, it depends, like, what's going on for you. So do you notice that you have white spots on your fingernails? If you haven't already done so, go to the Eating for Nutrients or whatever. It's on the Body Freedom nutrition page towards the bottom, and there's all the nutrients like vitamins and minerals and all that. And if you go to the minerals one, there's some tests that you can do on yourself to help you to figure that out. So you can actually do a paper and pen test, and it'll give you a score. And the other thing you can do is you can buy a zinc assay, zinc tally, a couple of brands, and I have it in there. And I also have a link to a document on that page that says, here's how to check your own zinc status. And you can check your zinc status based on that. And here's the thing, if you're deficient because of whatever reason, and then you are supplementing for a while, you may no longer be deficient, and then your dose goes down. If you've got hormonal imbalances, if you've got brain chemistry imbalances, if you have some skin things. So the little paper and pen symptom thing, I mean, I think it might be you can do it online, but either way you print it out and you score it up.
Are you talking about the ones, all the tests that you have available that I had to take in the beginning?
I don't know that we did. Did we do that? Were there nutrients involved in that? I have to look again to see. But I know that I'm going to show you. I know you're driving, so you may not see this, but at least I'll show it and you can watch the video recording. If I go to my site and I go to Empowered Self-Care, I'll just show you guys how to find this. Where is it going? Okay, good. There's so much there. We have to just devote a month to each of the topics. But if we go to share screen and I go here. Okay, so this is Empowered Self-Care. And if we scroll down to Body Freedom Nutrition.
So I only purchased the grand program. I don't know if I'm able to access.
Oh, you're not in Empowered. When did you purchase grand?
It was, I think, in September.
September. Okay. I thought everybody that was here was in. Okay. Let me show you that. If I go to grand.
They told me this is my, I can join for the call and it's on this one. This
yep.
Is,
yep. Yep.
This is how I join.
Yep. You're fine.
Okay.
Because we haven't actually promoted it, so I didn't know anybody had joined it recently. Oh yeah, I remember you joined right when we were starting the Empowered, and I had told them to reach out to you and see if you wanted to do the whole thing. Okay, so in this place on Grand, I believe there's some. I believe it's there. But you don't have access to that other page, you know, to all the how do you correct it. That's part of the Empowered Self-Care and the Body Freedom.
Oh, okay.
Okay, got it.
I just know that some of the testings that I did in the beginning of when I was just getting started with the grand program, yeah. That, you know, I checked those little boxes and it said with my condition or whatever, it said that I should be using zinc.
Okay, got it. Got it. So you can play with the amount because there's no way. One of the things you can do is buy, I'll stop the share. If you go to Premier Research Lab or in the Doctor Supplement store, you can buy something called zinc assay. And when you do that, it should say on the bottle how to test it to see if your zinc status, what your zinc status is and how much you might need. When in doubt, start with like 20 to 30 milligrams a day. And then some of those symptoms, look at the symptoms that were on that sheet that said, hey, you have the zinc imbalance, and then go ahead and see if those things are getting better. Sometimes it's the white spots on nails. Sometimes it's the low stomach acid. So you go there and determine, are you low in zinc? And you're basically swishing some of the zinc liquid into your mouth, swishing it around. And if it tastes awful right away, you probably don't need the zinc, but if it's like slow onset and it takes like 30 seconds and you still don't taste it, you probably need higher dose. But I'm always a fan of low and slow. So you start with the low dose, right? And then you just gradually increase it. And then you can continue to test with the tester like once a week. Does that make sense?
Right now I just bought the zinc from, I think it's called Brainchild. Brand?
Huh, I don't know that one. Is it a capsule or is it a liquid?
It's a liquid.
Okay, great.
And it was, I just bought that one because I thought, you know, I'll try liquid because it's supposed to be easily absorbable.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know that brand, but I would say start with whatever the lowest dose they give. You might start with a couple of drops just to make sure, but you can start with 20 to 30 and then just test that for a while. If it's not a taster, I don't, you know, the different ones are different dilutions, so you can't always tell by that. But, you know, just redo that assessment again. Like, so do that for 2 months and then redo that assessment. Okay.
Okay. And one other question.
Sure.
So for a while now, I've noticed hair loss. My hair used to be really thick and just always were thick and growing fast. And I've noticed a lot of hair loss. And I was not sure where to start with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that. So if you join Grand, it's obviously because you're having some digestive stuff, right? So going through all the stages in there to try to improve your absorption of minerals. Hair loss can be attributed to a biotin deficiency. It could be adrenal issues. It could be thyroid issues, right? It could be a shortage of some of the collagen type supportive nutrients, silica, those kinds of things. All right. So what do you do? Well, you know, without knowing exactly why, I mean, it's hard to say, but you can start with biotin as a nutrient. Look at your You have?
Yes, and I've been taking biotin.
So if you're taking a specific nutrient that's supposed to be helpful for a specific pathways in the body and it's not working, it's either that the cause is not biotin deficiency, number one. It could be that the brand or the form that you're taking is not being well absorbed. And if it's a capsule and you're having digestive issues, it could be that you have low stomach acid and you're not actually absorbing it, which is the suspicion when you have low zinc. And it could be the wrong brand, wrong amount. And then, you know, that wasn't it. It's just not it. So you could try increasing it. You could try switching. But I would work on your stomach acid, which is the very beginning of the Grand program, the upper GI part. Mm-hmm. And the bitters are really important for that, and zinc.
I just started taking bitters and I got the zinc, and I was curious about I was trying to take enzymes, but I used all of the ones that I had and I had to get more enzymes. So you probably know of Green Smoothie Girl.
Yeah.
So I take her Prezyme Pro. I take that in the evening. I had started with that. And I think that's how I learned about you.
Okay.
I take that in the evening, but then I was trying to take
enzymes should be taken with meals.
Yes.
Okay.
So I got this, I was also looking for vitamin C, and I found this raw food vitamin C from Garden of Life.
Okay.
And it said it also had enzymes and probiotics added to it. So it's just like, how do I know if my stomach acid is, the level is up to where it should be?
Right. Module 1 in Grand. It talks to you about the HCL challenge. It talks to you about symptoms and also that questionnaire that's at the beginning of Grand that goes through upper GI, small intestine, large intestine. It goes through all those sections. That's how you would guess as to whether you have low stomach acid. There's no definitive test. We were talking about this on another call the other day. There's no definitive test except the Heidelberg test, which requires a like tens of thousands of dollars machine. And they give you a capsule that has a little like kind of a sensor in it that you swallow. And that sensor will detect your stomach acid, and then you poop it out. And then you have to fish it out of your poop and bring it into the doctor who ordered it. And there's only a handful of doctors in the whole country that have that machine and that process. So it's, you know, in lieu of that, what we do is what's called the HCL challenge test, and we go by symptoms.
Okay. So I remember when I was going through that, I saw those challenges and I was like, I don't think I fit into that category. Like it said, if you do so and so, do not take this challenge.
Yeah, if you've had an ulcer or you've had gastritis and you have burning pain when you eat food and you haven't figured out what foods cause it, then that could be a problem. So what you need to do is heal the lining first, And there's a process in there talking about that, the demulcent herbs, the mucilaginous herbs that are in there, slippery elm and DGL and marshmallow root and all those things that can help to support repairing it before you try the HCL. In the meantime, you just assume that you have the problem. You take the bitters and the zinc and you see how it goes and you see how much improvement you see.
Okay. So in those lists where you have like demulcents and different things like that, it's okay if I don't try to take every one of them listed in there. It's like
it's not
okay
intended for that. It's intended for you to try and okay. See which ones work best, which ones are easiest to get. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
I give you lots of variety because so many people have sensitivities. What's that?
Okay. I tried the slippery elm and I thought I was really happy to try that, but I don't think it's sitting well with me. Like, I think when I take it, I would often wake up in the morning and not feel the best. So I don't know why.
What kind of feeling? Like, do you feel bloated or gassy?
Maybe a little bit of that, but I think it's often I feel like sad. I tend to feel that way when I eat something that doesn't agree with me, then I wake up and my stomach just hurts enough that I feel sad.
Okay, so you could be feeling sad because your stomach hurts, not sad because it affected your brain, but we'd have to figure that one out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So if the slippery elm didn't seem to fit, try the DGL, try marshmallow. Marshmallow root is a good one.
Okay.
Okay.
So the best enzyme for me to take, like I said, right now I'm taking the vitamin C one, and if that seems to work out with
that's
well
not
with
enough
me,
vitamins, there's not enough enzyme most likely in that. It's vitamin C with a little bit of enzymes to help the vitamin C get absorbed, but I wouldn't call that a digestive enzyme.
Okay
there's others that you can get. I like what's the name of it, transformation enzymes. They seem to be the most potent of the enzymes that are out there. I think Renew Life has, yeah, transformation enzymes. They're available at the Dr. Supplement store.
Okay. One thing, I know that I tried enzymes before and this doctor had recommended them to me. She's a naturopath and she gave me this one kind of enzymes and it caused me to have like acid reflux.
Okay, so this going back to the question you asked earlier, you most likely shouldn't be taking enzymes that have protease in them until you get it healed, get your lining healed. So your top priority is to heal the lining of your gut, and that's in module one of GRAND.
Okay. And so the enzyme, you said the transformation enzymes would be the ones that I should take.
That would be one, but now that you're telling me this, don't take the one that has protease in it, right?
Okay.
Because, you know, lipase and amylase would be okay, but with protease and a disrupted gut membrane, it's going to cause you to get reflux and pain.
Okay. No protease.
Great. I'm going to move on to, we have three more people with questions. And if you still have more, we can come loop around to you.
No, I just want to say thank you. I have already received a lot of help. Like I have a lot less inflammation. So thank you very much.
Great. I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you, Christina.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right. So next we have, let's see the order. They say the order is over here. Sharon and then Christine Quinn and then CJ. So Sharon.
Hi.
Hi.
I had done work with my naturopath in the spring and she had me do the SIBO diet and the reintroduction. We did all of that. So all the gut was feeling really good.
Good.
And then in October, I had some oral surgery done and the dentist gave me a prescription for chlorhexidine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an oral rinse because I couldn't brush thoroughly.
Yeah.
And the obvious problem I had was it turned my tongue black. So I only took it for maybe 5 days and then I discontinued, but it took at least 2 weeks for my tongue to go back to normal color. So also since then, I've had gut issues and the bloating and a lot of gas and everything. So just from previous calls, listening to your other callers who were having digestive problems, I started doing your recommendations of the pre-meal ritual, the digestive enzymes, chewing thoroughly, DGL and slippery elm, chia. And it improved, but I was still having problems. And so I'm doing the fasting with food.
Yes.
After day one of that, I've had no issues with gas at all. And of course the bloating's gone and that.
Awesome.
So my question is, where do I go after? I started on Monday, so Friday is my last day.
Yeah. So I would look at all the foods that you maybe even just make yourself a list of all the individual foods you've eaten through this stuff. And then what is it that you were eating before it started that you removed that could be have been causing the gas and bloating? So it could be that you've just healed it, but the fact that you just, it just happened on day one, it says to me, no, it's more like a sensitivity, that you had a sensitivity to something you were eating before. So I would go back and make a list of all the foods you've eaten this week. And then any of them that, any other foods that you were eating last week, make a list of those. Like, what is it that this thing removed for you? And then when you add those back, it's one at a time. One at a time, very carefully, and you're tracking your reactions.
Okay.
Okay.
So then I'll be able to skip this in January when you do it.
Well, yeah, you might be able to because you're doing it now. Yeah, but that's the way I would do it because clearly there was something in there that was aggravating because it wasn't long. If you did this, by day five, I was feeling better. I would say, oh, there was some healing happening and all that. But day one, it's more like a sensitivity and something was removed. Okay.
Okay. So I'll go back and
start.
I'll just carry on from that on the food sensitivity testing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. All right. Great. Thank you.
Can I just tell you one little celebration?
Yes, please.
You know, I have insomnia problems. And so I went for chiropractic treatments. I don't know if you know them. They're called NUCCA, N-U-C-C-A. Yeah. Anyway, after starting those treatments, my sleep has improved. I don't get those long waking hours in the night. I'm getting about 7 hours of sleep every night. Yeah, I still wake up, but I'll go back to sleep quickly. You know, I still have multiple wakings in the night.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And some of that is habit, right? Some of that is your body's so used to this habit thing. Like when my kids would wake me up in the middle of the night when they were little, like they didn't sleep through the night till they were three, neither one of them, right? And so you're like getting up. And then when they started to sleep through the night, I still woke up because it was in anticipation. And then it took like 6 months for me actually before I was able to sleep through the night when they started sleeping through the night. So it just may take some habit. That's really great news. And it's just amazing the connections we have between the energetic system, the nervous system, and the sleep. And so there's so many things that can go into it. And I'm so glad that you figured it out. Awesome. Yay. Good luck. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
All right. So next on my list is Christine Quinn and then CJ. So Christine. Whoops, unmute.
Can there you hear go. Me now?
Yeah.
Okay, my question is about dysbiosis. I did the doctor's data.
Yep.
And I came out with a 5. And I'm in the middle of looking at the gran. I'm in the gran. I haven't finished it. So is there any ways to know? I think I'm doing the right thing to heal the gut. And my symptoms are interesting because I don't bloat. I have gas 4 hours after I eat in the evening after my last meal. I do, my last meal's at 4. And so about 8 o'clock, okay. I start to have gas and really? It's so bad. My dog runs out of the room.
Oh, wow. What about movements? Are you having regular bowel movements?
Okay, so that, no. But I had a year of diarrhea. And now at least I'm having movements. And it's up and down, but I have at least once a day, it was going to two, but I feel like I have to give birth to it. I mean, it's once I do, it's complete and it looks normal. I mean, it's not diarrhea and it's well formed. So that's my other indication. I'm pretty much, I have a clean diet. I don't do gluten. I don't do, I do low glycemic foods. I mean, I don't do dairy. I don't do eggs. I mean, I'm pretty much.
Do you probiotic containing foods?
No, I do probiotics. I don't capsule form.
You take them in capsule form.
I do the lactobacillus. I do Saccharomyces and the soil based. I do all three.
All right. So when you had your stool test done, you said it showed dysbiosis level 5. What did it show for the normal flora, the lactobacillus, the bifidus, et cetera?
I think that was okay. Actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Means 3 or 4 on each
green.
Of them.
It was green. I'm looking.
Yeah.
Lacto. It was, it doesn't say, it just shows green. There it is. It's a +3.
+3 on lacto. What about bifido?
Bifido. Sorry.
That's okay.
Bifido was again. Oh, there it is. Oh, no, that's bifido. Again, that was a +3.
That was true. Okay, so they're relatively equal. And when do you take your probiotics? Is it right after
your meal? I take those on an empty stomach in the morning, the lactobacillus and the
Saccharomyces boulardii.
Sorry. And I do that at night too. I take 2 in the morning and 2 at night.
Okay. And then
when you take the soil base with food.
With food. Okay. And then when you do the lacto, okay, so this bloating comes on 4 hours after your last meal. What about after your first meal? Any bloating?
No, I don't get anything.
Okay. So
my glucose and ketones are fine. I mean, the only symptoms I have is that and, straining when I have a movement. And then also sometimes I can't wait to do your elimination diet because trying to figure out food sensitivities. I monitor my weight. That's the only thing I know that if it goes up, I mean, I gained 3 pounds eating cabbage. I mean, and I weigh the same time every day. So I'm monitoring that. So the way I look at my food sensitivities is through my bowel movement and through my weight. And
Ask you a couple more questions. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So, I forgot. You said something and it came to me. I wanted to ask you a question. So with the, is there a big difference in what foods you're eating in the evening versus during the day? Like, are there foods that you eat in the evening, for the 4 o'clock meal that are different than the foods you eat earlier?
It's usually, it's a little different, but usually it's like 3 ounces of protein and some kind of greens. I don't eat any, I don't have any starchy vegetables. It's usually like green beans or something steamed, mainly green beans or a big salad with 3 ounces of protein in the evening.
What do you have do you have 2 meals a day or 3?
2.
What's the earlier meal then?
I have my green drink and sometimes I have protein in it. I'll have
protein powder, you mean, when you blend
it? Yeah, I have like Sun Warrior in it.
Okay.
Or I'll have like a turkey meatball, and a green salad. So I have those 3 things.
Okay. So there's not that much difference between the meals. I mean, I was thinking maybe
I have more green drinks in the morning or at that first meal.
So it's more, and are you chewing and doing?
I'm working on it, and I'm doing the meditation before I eat, more mindfulness. I'm working on it, and I haven't seen any undigested food in my stool. So I'm, yeah, that's a big improvement.
That's a big one. When you eat your meals, do you take enzymes with either of those meals?
Yes, I do. I do the bitters. I'm not as consistent on the bitters because in the GRAND program, I'm trying to do the bitters before and the enzymes after I eat. So that's what I've been trying to do, get that protocol. But I do take enzymes with every meal.
Okay. The same amount with every meal?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then the probiotics, you said you're taking three different kinds. So, you know, all my theories have been shot down. So I may have some more questions for you because I was thinking, okay, so the lacto, you might have an overgrowth, you may have a SIBO situation, right? And the fact that you have to strain for the bowel movements, a gut motility kind of situation. But, you know, and what time do you eat that first meal?
11.
11. Okay. So there's enough
time. Oh, sometimes 10 or 11, between 10 and 11.
All right. So there's a long gap between that meal and the next meal. Do you snack at all in between?
No.
You're pretty clean. Gut motility. Well,
I've taken your sweet spot. I've learned.
You've learned.
I used to snack, but that makes a big difference. Not snacking.
It also makes a big difference on gut motility. There's something called the migrating motor complex that will help to move the food along, and it needs to have 6 hours, 4 to 6 hours in between meals to really, you know, get up its power. So sometimes people don't have that space between, they end up not having this good migrating motor, and then it can cause some of the bacteria to land in the small intestine. But again, you know, if you had said that you were taking that lacto with the second meal or somewhere around that, and then you got bloated, I would suspect more of an overgrowth in the small intestine versus large intestine, because the lacto can grow there, bifido can't. So there's a couple of things you can try, right? Don't have a definitive, you know, this is why you should try these. But one is there's a company called Pure Encapsulations that has a product called Motil Pro.
Motil
Pro, right? And it's got some ginger and other kinds of things in there, plus 5-HTP to help, you know, get the serotonin going so that you can stimulate motility in your bowel. So that's one possibility. Another alternative to that would be something like Trifala, which is an Ayurvedic herb, T-R-I-F-A-L-A. And that could be helpful for just getting things moving along, right? Because it's like you get stuck. When I asked about the bacteria, the movements, because when you have food that doesn't able to make its way out and it's sitting around, it kind of can rot and start to smell. And you said it smells really bad. What are you doing about the dysbiosis? There were specific organisms in there.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. That's why I'm asking.
Okay, got it. Okay. Klebsiella by any chance?
What is it?
Klebsiella?
No, that's not in there. It's the Bacteroides.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's high. The face, the FAECAI bacterium.
All right. So a couple of things I'm going to recommend a few things. Is that okay?
Sure.
Let me give them a try. We don't know definitively which one's going to work best, but I think something to move things along, whether it be the Motil Pro or the Trifala, you can research and figure out which one you feel more comfortable with. The other thing is you want to address those gut bugs. So away from your probiotics, Jenny asked this great question earlier. So away from your probiotics by at least 3 hours, you can take some gut stuff to kill those off. Did your test show you whether it like do what's called a sensitivity that said, oh, you have this bug and these are the herbs or pharmaceuticals that get rid of them?
No.
What's the brand on the test?
It's the GI360.
Oh, was it the Doctor's Data one?
Yeah, Doctor's Data.
Okay, that should be in there then, unless you didn't order the one with sensitivities.
I ordered just about everything.
Yeah. So look for the, there should be a page. When you say the dysbiosis, there were five, and I'm going by the original doctor's data. I haven't looked at the new one. The 360 is the new one. It usually at the very top of the first page, it shows your good flora, your commensal flora, and then the dysbiotic, the pathogenic.
What it shows is just the ones that were low. It doesn't show the good ones.
Well, you did. You said the good ones, the lacto.
Yeah, I went through. I had to go through my
So they've changed the format of it. I'll have to look at that. So if they don't have a page, and you can look for that, there's usually where they actually test it and they go, oh, berberine works well, but oregano doesn't, right? And then you don't want to do those. There are some things that you could try that are more like, it's almost like a broad spectrum antibiotic, but something like the biocidin can be helpful for helping you to get those things under control. Okay. There's another one that's from Allergy Research that has three, it hits it, whether it's a candida, a parasite or a bacteria. And it's called allergy. I don't know if they still have it. I'm not seeing it. Let me just go to their site. Allergy Research. That's a formula. IRB. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Allergy. I think it's .com. Nope. Allergy Research. All right. Trying to find it. Allergy Research Group. Let's see. And it has something for each of the, here we go. I'm going to go to their site and I'm going to look it up. The biocidin you can get as a liquid can be very helpful. And you may need something called a biofilm disruptor. Okay, let me look it up. No, this isn't it. It's, you know, it's interesting. There's all these great companies that don't do very good marketing and all these other companies that sell their stuff that do great marketing. So they pop up in the top. Allergy Research. La, 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 la. Let's try it at IRB. Biotic. I think it's tribiotic, triple biotic, something like that. I'm just going to look through these things. It's like at the tip of my tongue.
Rita Marie, I was going to say, I can't remember which one was the biofilm, but I have the serapeptase. Is that the biofilm?
Serapeptase is a biofilm disruptor. Yes.
It's the Doctor's Best brand is the one we found.
For the biofilm. So write that one down. Doctor's Best. Right. Serapeptidase. That's one to get rid of the biofilms. I'm just looking for this. Let's not bother. Let's just say biocidin is probably fine, right? Okay. So you do this serapeptidase for about a week before you start the biocidin.
Okay. And then
you start the biocidin, that should start to bring that down. And then I would retest it in 2 to 3 months.
Okay. That was my last question is, I had diarrhea for a year and now that, and I was going like every time I ate, I was going, but this to me, is this better? Cause I don't have diarrhea but I'm not moving as much.
Hard to say, you know, it could be that you had exposure to some kind of bug and it's still lingering now. My recommendation, if you're open to it, is to get an appointment with one of our coaches to actually go through that test with you. and they can help you put together a protocol.
Okay, that's great. And my celebrate, thank you for the fast, the feast. I love it. It's been great to help. It's really helped me. I've enjoyed the live recordings. It's been awesome.
Great. So thank you. Glad to hear that. You're welcome. Thank you. So our next one was, let me see, I'm going to get you off, lower hand, and it, oh, we have a whole bunch more that came up. Some of you aren't on screen, so I'm not seeing you. So I had Sharon, I thought CJ was there, and now she's not. Where'd she go? She must have had to leave. We have David. Okay, David.
CJ did leave, Dr. Rita Marie.
Ah, okay.
Good day. I guess my celebration is that I managed to get my yoga in several times a week and keep the aches and pains under control.
That's awesome.
I have a lingering issue that's been months and months with achy muscles in the upper arm. Started over here, then went over here after my wife had the same thing happen. But it's just lingering in this arm. Went down here for a while and then it's back. And so I have a lot of pain when I try and put my arm overhead. So I took turmeric for months. It had the black pepper in it. And I tripled my dosage for a while, for a month, to see if that would help. So I'm not sure if it's inflammation. And then I just noticed a couple days ago that this arm is exposed in the morning, every morning, and I reach over and it's cold.
Oh, interesting. But what happened with the other one? Did you switch sides that you're sleeping on, or?
I think during the summer, it got well, and it doesn't get out of the covers, so it stays warm.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, whenever I hear about a musculoskeletal thing, we want to look at it from two perspectives. We want to look at it, is it a musculoskeletal issue, right? Did you have an injury? Did you strain it and it's having trouble getting well? Or is there an underlying inflammatory kind of process that might be going on? So this started how many months ago?
6, 7, 8.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. Right?
And was there some kind of strain or sprain before that happened? Was there some?
No, there's no trigger. And the last time I had an ache start in one arm and then appear in the other, I went and changed my thyroid from T4 to T3. Found a doctor to do that.
Have you had anybody evaluate it, like look at it?
Chiropractor didn't find anything interesting. She thought, I'm going to see her today. She thought, I didn't let her tweak my neck. She uses the activator. Mm-hmm. But she couldn't get it all. And because I'd had BPPV recently, I didn't let her throw my head. But probably today, it's been another few weeks.
Right, it could be coming from that in combination of something in the shoulder when you said you're having difficulty lifting the shoulder, right?
Well, could it be at a point for a while where I couldn't even lift it above my shoulder. And so,
how far? Show me
in this muscle, but then other muscles participate and then go away.
They all participate.
And what's weird is that my wife had this start months before I did, and she still has lingering issues. And for her, it went from one shoulder to both to just one.
Yeah, that part is confused. I don't know what to make of that part. And without doing a physical exam and all that kind of stuff with you, but go ahead and lift your arm as high as it goes.
Gets painful about there.
Okay.
Whereas
now take your hand.
I can take it all the way here now. You know, I've been doing yoga like this for years.
When you get to this point, if you just passively take it beyond.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's fine. Okay. So now we've identified it's a muscular issue, not a tendon or a ligament. So then it's an issue of which, like if I were seeing you as a chiropractor, I would be muscle testing all the different attachments that go into here, the subscapularis, the supraspinatus, the infraspinatus. So I'm just going to give you a couple of things. Reach back here and see if there's any tender spots on the scapula or below the scapula.
Just slightly more tender than usual.
All right, and try the other side and see how it compares.
The other side's no tenderness at all.
Okay. So there's a really cool book if you want to do some home therapy, and it's called The Trigger Point Manual. Let me find the exact name on Amazon. It's like $15 and it will save you. I found out about it from a patient years ago that we were working on stuff, but she just couldn't get in as often as she needed to. And she found this book and it's a lifesaver. And it shows all these different places, different muscles that will refer pain to other areas. So when you say it went from one side to the other, it could actually be in the trapezius. It could actually be in the levator scapula, but what you reached out and found is probably like infraspinatus subscapularis. So I'm going to find trigger point book. Don't remember the exact name. It's called The Trigger Point Therapy Workbook. I'm going to give you, it's raised its price. When I first bought it, it was 10 years ago or more. It's now $20. Best $20 to spend. I'm going to put it in here. Ah, that's all that garbage from. Let me try this again. When you do a search on something and then it puts all those ampersand blah, blah, blahs after it, I'm going to make you a nice simple link so that it doesn't take up 15 lines. Okay. So if I go here, I go backwards, it's called, there we go, the Trigger Point Self-Help. Okay, I think I could just take this part off and it'll still work. Let me see. Okay.
The comment in the chat suggests it might be COVID related. And my wife and I visited family in December, the end of December through January 1. And then a week or two later, we each came down with flu-like symptoms, a week for her and then a week for me. And of course, we didn't think it was COVID because COVID wasn't here until February. Yeah. And we knew nothing about it at the time. And I don't even remember getting sick.
It certainly could be, but there's other things we can look at as well, because even if it is COVID related, it's going to cause, you know, various things happening with the muscles. If you look at that book, there you go. If you look at that book, that would be a good book to get because it'll map out, you know, and you can identify where it is in your shoulder and where the pain is and which of them might be involved. And then they show you all kinds of cool tools that you can get, like inexpensive tools or even balls and sticks and whatever that you can actually work on those.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of yoga therapy balls and the like.
Yeah, and maybe there's some other things that have more of a small, like able to get into a trigger point. But they
all of the have quite a variety of balls from small to
good. Yeah. So get that book, I would say, and look at that. As far as if it's COVID related, you know, it's a long time and it might, but it might not, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, one other question. Brought this up before, but it became close to home. I brought up that I want to evaluate my heart status.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks ago, my longtime dance teacher had a sudden heart attack and passed away.
Oh, no.
His partner, girlfriend for 8 years is just devastated. The entire dance team's devastated. 1,000 people in the dance community are devastated because he was a luminary.
So sad.
It is.
I would get tested because here's the thing. I wish, you know, like both of my parents died that way suddenly.
Yes.
And we don't know, right? You just don't know some of it. And if you can get some of that testing done to see if you're at risk and then.
Yeah, he had no advance warning whatsoever. We would have guessed anything but that. You know, and being a dance teacher, he's done motion for 45 years consistently, you know, every day of the week for hours and hours. So for evaluation, it doesn't seem like I'm going to find a functional cardiologist in Los Angeles. Should I just go to a regular functional regular cardiologist and get some standard testing done? And then
no, the standard testing is you know, it's just not going to give you the depth. I would get the advanced lipid panel. You can go to runmylabs.com, Dr. Allen Hopkins site, order the advanced lipid panel, make sure it has LP with a small a, LP little a, and then go to any radiology, a place where they take x-rays, a radiology center. And without a prescription, you can order what's called a calcium scan, a calcium heart scan. It's basically a CT, but it's very, very low in the exposure, the x-ray exposure. And it's quick, it's easy. My husband did it. We were so relieved that he did because he had numbers and, you know, his family history of it. So it shows up if there's any blockages and where they are, so you can take action. And then of course your C-reactive protein.
I did the hsCRP.
Yeah.
I've done the lipid panel, but not the advanced lipid panel.
Not the advanced one. The advanced one just says it goes into the particle sizes and the buoyancy. So if you have small, dense particles of LDL, those are dangerous. Large, buoyant ones are protective. And you get to see what it looks like.
And the Quest can do that one as well. Yeah, so I can get that covered by insurance.
Yep.
The calcium heart scan, no RX needed.
Yep, that's generally speaking. If you're over 70, they want a prescription. Well, if you're under 70, they'll do it without a prescription.
Oh, I just turned 60, so that should be good.
You're good. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have Robin. Hi, Robin. I don't see you. So I've listed Robin, Thea, Sharon, and Hetty.
Get in there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
I'm trying to turn the video on. Like,
there you go. You got it. Hi, Robin. Sorry.
I'm in sitting in my bed. So it's a terrible spot for me to be, but I'm still, as you know, I'm still here with you.
I'm glad you are. It's been,
I know, but I'm still struggling. So, you know, the whole thing with my husband, it's still painful, but, I finally think it's getting better, but obviously if I'm tearing up, it's still not, but now I do need to focus on me because the last couple of years, my weight changed. Like I definitely went through menopause. I put on 40 pounds in the last like couple of years. I did finally do with Dr. Allen Hopkins, like I think it was like a year and a half ago, I ordered his lab work, was part of a program, but again, just sat on it because I just not committing to doing anything, but I finally got the lab work done. So I'm concerned because my fasting glucose was 115. Some of my cholesterol stuff, because I have my like labs here. I don't know if, can you see that? No. Or does that not show? No. So my labs came back. So some of the cholesterol is up too, but it doesn't look too bad. Like, so I know what to do by going through the sweet spot and everything. My biggest concern is I do have lipoprotein A.
Oh, the little A, yeah.
And my, I did the advanced lipid panel. So my HS, the CRP is 9.8.
Ouch. Okay. So this is putting you in a high risk situation. Yeah, you know what to do food wise.
I do.
I'm not going to go through it, but you have to.
Nope, you don't need to do.
Comes your big why, right? You've got to, or else your kids are going to be very pissed at you when you suddenly have a heart attack and leave.
Right? Well, exactly. Because I think I have had some things. Like I had two summers ago, I had, you know, to me, it was classic. I went to the emergency room, but of course, they look at you and they did just general blood work and they just didn't pay attention to it. So I don't have a doctor.
HSCRP at 9 is dangerous. LPA, you're not going to do stuff that's going to really get it down all that well. But you can change things around it that make you healthier, right? LPA is elevated when you have a genetic tendency to it.
Yeah. So it's 109. So they say you're supposed to be below 75. So I don't know how bad 109 is.
That's not good, right?
So it's the other thing, my vitamin D, so this is what I wanted help with. My vitamin D is 31, but also in my genetic testing, my genes, like when I looked at that, I have problems with, there's some red on the vitamin D and vitamin A. So I want to know how to take, I have some vitamin D liquid. I want to know how to take that with the K2. And I am going to go, and as soon as I can figure out and if I financially can do it. I want to do that calcium score because I think that's kind of important because my mother had a heart attack.
I think it's really important to do. I think that looking at that, you want to bring the CRP down as well. And so a lot of the anti-inflammatories that you already know about, you know how to do that.
Yep.
With the LP little A, niacin's important, CoQ10, and sometimes carnitine.
Carnitine? How do you spell that? Q?
CARNITINE. And Dr. Joel Kahn just wrote a whole book on LP little A. So get his book, Joel Kahn, K-A-H-N. Half of it is recipes. You don't have to pay attention. You can use my recipes. But the other half is like, what is this thing? And what do you need to do about it? So I would highly recommend getting his book, $15, $20, yep. Whatever. Yep. Right? So get his book. That'll help you with the LPA. The C-reactive protein and the vitamin D are well within your control. So yep. As far as vitamin D, with it being that low, I would say take at least 10,000, if not 15 to 20, but only take it for a month to 2 months and then retest it to see. You don't want to go over. But given you have the vitamin D SNPs, you're not going to go over in that period of time.
Right. But how? So I have the D3 serum. I got it from Seeking Health. So I think I probably have a good one, but aren't you supposed to take it with K2?
K2. So what I recommend is the easiest is you get a combination D3, K2, and you take whatever the recommended dose is for that for K, and then you add the extra from the D.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And if you go to on the site, on the Empowered site, and it's on the page with the Nutrition Lab, towards the bottom is a section that says vitamins. And, understand your vitamins. And in there, there's a whole presentation on vitamin D. And I talk about my process for how to supplement it.
All right. Because I'm concerned with one of the things I think in my SNPs when I did some genetic, it says that I have trouble absorbing the vitamin D or with vitamin A. So I had a lot of red SNPs on the vitamin A. So isn't vitamin D
and vitamin A? Yeah, so vitamin A, if you have SNPs there, you're not converting your beta carotene to A effectively. So I would do somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 of a liquid micellized A. They have it at Seeking Health. So you can just get it from there and you get that. They also have a D3 K2 at Seeking Health. So you can just put it all there. They're all good quality. And I would say with the A 5,000-ish, are they red SNPs? Do you recall on the A?
Yeah, I mean, I can look at
it. Then I would do 10,000 for a month or two, and then you can drop it to a maintenance dose because you want to replenish it.
Okay.
So 5,000 to 10,000 on the A, 15 to 20,000 on the D, but retest in a couple of months. And then you can adjust it downward from there. And on the K, just get a D3, K2 and take whatever.
Okay. Then the other thing, so my estradiol, I got that. I just don't know other than estrogens, how I can tell, because I feel like I'm one of those people that store estrogens. Because when I put the weight on, my breast size, they're huge. I mean, I must have grown like 3 sizes. So it's really uncomfortable. I hate it. I do know that's part of the diet thing probably that I did, not being good and drinking alcohol. But I'm concerned with am I storing the estrogen and how do I?
Yeah. So what I would do is I would do a Dutch test. Have you done a Dutch test?
No.
That's going to give you all your estrogen, the E1, E2, E3, the metabolites, the 4th, the 16, the 2. And that's going to give you an idea of what that pathway is supposed to look like.
Okay.
Okay.
Is there something that you can tell me? Because I just remember with Elena and her thing, she said to take L-glutamate, something. It helps to release the estrogen that's stored in the liver. It's L-glutamate or DIM.
I would say as far as if you're looking to balance, you've got to get a lot of cruciferous stuff, DIM, but again, without looking at it, I don't know where your numbers are. Was your estradiol high in serum?
Is what?
Was your estradiol high in your serum?
It's at 18.
I don't know the range. I don't do serum.
Oh, 18 is it's definitely below. It definitely says I'm in menopause.
Okay. So it was low. Yeah. So, I wouldn't do DIM or I3C. I would be doing things like broccoli sprout powder, broccoli sprouts, cruciferous to try to bring that pathway, stay away from caffeine, like the plague with that.
Yeah. But I'm not a big caffeine person. So that's
stay away from it. Just throw it out. Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Right.
You got this. You know, you know what to do. And I know that you can get those numbers back.
I do.
Just doing what you know how to do. You're a great cook. You're a great chef, whatever you want to call it. And you just have to do what you know to do. And this is a wake up call.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. And then I just hope that's why I'm glad you're still here and the programs are still there. So it motivates me to keep plugging along.
And you know,
I need to make some lifestyle changes too, though.
Right. They need you. They want you around. They don't want you saying goodbye so soon and that you're going to do stuff because those numbers are scary. Right. But you can change. You can change.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a feeling that I had the lipoprotein A, and it's like when I saw that, I was like, that's not good, but they don't, it doesn't look too, it's not good, but it doesn't look too bad from what, you know, just from watching Dr. Allen's like videos and stuff, it could be worse. I'm actually feel pretty good. So if I balance everything else out, it's not as bad, but.
Exactly. That's the thing with lipoprotein little A, you have to make sure that everything else you're doing is really good.
Everything else around it is good. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So who else do we have? We have Hetty, Sharon, and Thea. Hetty, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi.
You've been answering a lot of the questions so far. And actually, the one was you were just talking about it because my estrogen's low and my question would be DIM. Would that be a good source to take in a supplement? No.
No, that's if your estrogen's high.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll lower it more, right? So if it depends on which, I haven't seen your Dutch test. Have you gone over it with, who are you?
Not until January.
Okay, so in the meantime, you'll go through that with her. I'll ask you a couple of questions. I don't know if you know the answers, but if your 4-hydroxyestrone is higher, it's on a little circle.
And right.
On the high, it's higher than it should be. It should be like 7-9% or something like that. If it's higher than that, absolutely the no caffeine, but I think you already do that. More of the cruciferous type of things, broccoli sprout powder. They have the sulforaphane helps with that. Progesterone can be helpful if it's on the low side. And then the company called Biomatrix makes this stuff called Estadapt. And it's estriol. So look at your numbers on there. If the estriol is lower, if the total of the other two, E1 and E2, is more than or equal to the estriol or more than the estriol alone, then it could be helpful to do the estriol because it's very protective.
Okay. And how much of the greens would I have to eat to try to manage a good level also of
without seeing it, it's really hard to say, but you know, you can get some broccoli sprout powder and start putting it in your smoothies and soups and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the estriol is just you take according to the dose. I always low and slow, right? 1 drop, 2 drops, 3 drops, that kind of thing. Right. And that will help if there's vaginal dryness going on, if there's some vaginal atrophy going on.
Mm-hmm.
Little bit possibly sex drive, although some of the others would help more with that.
Yeah, I definitely have that for quite a few years already.
Yeah, the estriol might be helpful. And depending on what your DHEA is, and Isabel can help.
Hi.
You've done tons. Your DHEA is high?
It's always been high, yes.
Yeah, so there may be some PCOS type stuff going on. Isabel has done like lots and lots of Dutch tests.
Okay,
so she can
I'll wait for her. Yeah. And this was probably no concern on lab day, but I'm going to ask because my fats was 25%, but I eat good fats, so I guess that's good and normal.
You mean your intake of fat is 25% or what?
Yes, on the blood work.
Where did it show percentage of fats? I don't.
It had 25. It said fat and 25. So I'm taking that was at 25%. So I don't know. Maybe I'll relook at that.
What you mean by that? That doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, I'll relook at that and ask Isabel.
Yeah.
I don't have any other questions, but I like to comment to everybody that has heart problems. Positive outlook. Dr. Rita Marie's green smoothies every day.
every day. That's
lots of ounces. You could do it because my doctor yelled at me and gave me a statin drug. And I refused to take it, but I went home and said, I'll give myself 3 months before I take the drug. I got my cholesterol down with my K vitamins and my green smoothies.
Yay!
So lots of them. They may take 2 hours to drink. 32 to 64 ounces a day, and it helps. Awesome. And I ordered the book for my lipo protein ice, so I have to start that. And I want to ask everybody this, please, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, send prayers out to me because I'm driving a 26-foot U-Haul truck that I never drove before, towing my car from Florida to Pennsylvania.
Oh, my gosh.
And I am
take it easy.
Beyond myself.
And the thoughts, remember, the thoughts create yes. Thinking and breathing and appreciating, and appreciate that there's no
snowstorms.
I don't know of any snowstorms that are predicted. I think everybody's has a slightly warmer weather right now. So hopefully everything's smooth sailing and easy. We'll send out prayers your way.
Yes. Good prayers, good energy. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So lower hand. Sharon, did you have a quickie? Otherwise I'll go to Thea and then I'll come back to you because you already had a
I do.
Yeah.
Your conversation about the biofilm destructor and I've had an ongoing nasal infection for years and years. Oh. And my naturopath, about the same time as I first heard you talk about biofilm destructors, diagnosed it as a fungal infection. So she started me on a biofilm disruptor that we were able to get here in Canada.
Great.
But then she wanted to start on something that would and kill the fungal infection. Right. And she was having trouble sourcing something. I have now got a compounded one, but it cost me $200 for this compounded one. So I can feel
what is it? Do you know the name of it?
No, I pick it up this afternoon.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. So I just wanted to
Is it a nasal spray?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a couple of things. Biocidin does have a nasal spray, and theirs are usually kind of broad spectrum, so it probably has antifungal, antibacterial, et cetera. So
Biocidin. D-I-D-I-N.
B-I-O-C-I-D-I-N. I'm looking to see if I had. The other one is colloidal silver as a nasal spray. This is very easy to find. Colloidal silver, nasal, so you see the top, this is the nasal spray applicator, yeah. Right there. Thorn has a quercetin-based nasal spray as well. That's more for histamine and allergy type things. But I would say between the biocidin and the colloidal silver, maybe good matches. I mean, see how you paid it for it already, see how it goes. But,
yeah.
You know, you'll have a head start on that one and then go ahead and try these because they're, I mean.
What are you saying? Sorry, would I use them together? Or try one and then the other?
I would, you're sensitive. So try one, do that for a week or so, then try the other, and then see what happens when you put it together. They work on slightly different mechanisms, so putting them together can be very helpful.
Okay.
Okay.
And I just want to make one little comment. I've spoken to you before about really, really being tired in the afternoon. I'm tired all the time, but the afternoons were just dreadful for me. And when I was at the naturopath, she tested my ferritin and initially she thought it was fine. And then she compared it to previous ones and she said, it's just been dropping. So she started me on Floravate.
Okay. And
it has just been life changing for me.
Awesome.
I don't even have any need to lay down in the afternoon. I can't believe I'm the same person.
Wow. And she had been tested. She'd been testing your iron. This is one of the objections I have to Canadian doctors, because they don't test iron and ferritin. They sometimes don't test either of them. And then I'm looking at a test going, well, what are we doing here? Yeah. Good for you. Yay. A simple like iron deficiency anemia causing tiredness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's my celebration.
It's great. Awesome.
Thank you.
One of my faves is, and I get great results with it, is Yellow Doc as a supplementation for that. Floradix is good. It's a lot of different food. It's a food-based iron supplement. It does have a little bit of sugary, like not sugar, but fruit juice or something in it. So, and be careful you get the one that's gluten-free.
there's two.
This one, yes. Okay, this one, yes.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
All right, last one is Thea.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah, hi, Thea.
Hello. So I guess I would love for you to help direct me to where to search further for an ovarian cyst in a postmenopausal woman.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there, Thea, yeah. because yeah. these calls, I forgot to say it at the beginning, are not for practitioners to bring client cases.
Oh, this is me.
Oh, it's you. Okay, good.
Yeah, got sorry, it. Sorry. Yeah, it's okay. me. So it's a cystic structure.
Hmm.
We've been monitoring it for 4 months.
Okay.
They want to do surgery and chop it out. I'm looking at insulin resistance. Hemoglobin A1C had risen to 5.3.
Okay.
A lot of stress this year.
Okay.
Not a lot of sleep. Just did the Biome FX whole genome sequencing test. Have you looked at that at all, Dr. Amory?
What's the name of it, genome?
It's the Biome FX, the Microbiome Labs new test. It's,
yeah, I haven't. I haven't looked at that one.
Okay. They look at estrogen recycling based on stool. Mm-hmm. And my estrogen recycling, the estrobolome, was very low, but still within the healthy range of low. So that is an indication that there's possibly insufficient levels of estrogen in circulation. They okay. also found yeast, high levels of yeast, not candida. Can't mm-hmm. identify yet whether it's environmental or dietary. I'm going to run my oats. I will run the Dutch, but I need to shore up quite a bit on my biome first.
Because yeah, I would too. I wouldn't just jump right in and do that. So I would.
I did a blastocystis hominis protocol this summer.
Yeah.
And I took this stool test just 3 weeks after completing that protocol, and it was herbal, but it really messed up, you know, it perturbed my biome.
Okay, yeah. So you did the test 3 weeks after you finished that protocol.
The blastocystis hominis kill protocol.
Yeah, so it could have killed off a lot of good stuff too. Is that what yeah. you're thinking?
But,
yeah.
but it, you know, it didn't kill off the yeast. So that's an issue. Yeah. And this new test didn't identify any more blasto or other parasites or pathogens.
Well, that's good. But the thing about that is if you have blasto and you try to kill the yeast, it's not going to go anywhere because it's useless. So if you've got the blasto considered, then I would look at an anti-yeast protocol.
Right.
Right.
Have you seen this or could this be related to the cyst? I know there's imbalance in the body. I'm looking at the insulin.
It's one-sided cyst, right or left?
Well, it's actually the left. Yep.
All right. What about your progesterone? That's the other thing with cysts and you know, all of that stuff. I think about progesterone levels. I don't know if that test would show it.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem to supplement progesterone, you know, because if you're going through menopause, it's like likely that you have it low and there's the downside.
I'm 7 years past menopause.
Yeah. Well, you're past it, but if you're postmenopausal, you probably have low progesterone, is my guess. And even if you take progesterone, it's not going to throw you out as long as you take a natural, not a synthetic progestin, right?
Yeah. And that would help you sleep too.
And it would help you sleep. So you take it at bedtime. You can take the, you know, the ProAdapt from Biomatrix, or you could take a cream. I know Anna Kabeca has a good cream, a progesterone cream. And there's others that have good progesterone creams. So I would look at that. The other thing is castor oil packs on yep. your abdomen. Doing that?
Yeah.
And
seropeptase in a synergistic formula.
Okay.
And I'm high dosing those.
How long have you been doing them for?
A good probably 6 weeks.
So it's time. I think it's time to end the fungal kind of thing. I mean, there's the basics. You can look at in your digestion module in NEPT. There's a lot of possibilities And then play around with them to see what works well for you.
And could there be there's imbalance, right? Mm-hmm. So the cyst is a byproduct of that imbalance.
Right.
And does left side mean anything to you?
I mean, there's some, energetic type things that talk about left versus right. I don't even remember which one, male versus female. I mean, there could be some emotional pieces and, you know about that kind of stuff that go into that. So I would certainly look at that as a possibility, right? Is it some, male resentment? Look up cyst in people like, what's her name?
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay. She has a whole book on, when these things happen, there could be specific emotions and things happening with others. So that I would look at that as well. Right. And the estrogen progesterone balance is kind of important. So I would start though with just doing some progesterone. If you're 7 years post, you can't go wrong with ProAdapt and EstAdapt with adding the estriol to the mix. Because it's usually if there's an imbalance between E1, E2, E3, and the E3 is almost always low, then that's when you get into trouble with growths and things like that. Because those are prolific.
What is that product called?
It's from Biomatrix, ProAdapt and EstAdapt.
EstAdapt, okay.
EstAdapt.
Okay. So try those maybe for a month or two?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. I'm so glad I hung out. And that's my celebration that I got to talk to you. Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. It's been a while. Thank you. Okay. Bye. All right. We are at the end of our time. So I look forward to seeing those of you who are going to come to the herbal class on Saturday. Who's planning to do that? Some of you have. Yeah. Yay. It'll be fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. And then I look forward to, if you guys have specific food requests, like I can't imagine having Christmas without X and I don't know how to make it healthier. Let us know. And you can do that you can just send a message to coaching@drritamarie.com and that'll make sure it gets to me in time, or put it on the Facebook group for this group, for the Empowered group. All right. Cause I had so much fun with it. I did, but make sure you get it to me soon. Cause if you send it to me on Friday, that's not going to give me enough time next Friday. You're not going to give me enough time to research and, figure out and get the ingredients that I need to do it. But we made some really cool stuff, really cool stuff. Okay. Have a great one. And we'll see you guys, some of you, on Saturday. Bye.
Bye.